Dipper numero dos. All right. Number two here for the day. Social media wars. Are we there? Is this, so what is your, first of all, what is your thought on this? My thinking is that social media platforms have, by their own efforts, and good on them for this, they have become the public square of today. They are the electronic public square. They are a place that is as significant in the ability to communicate today as the telephone, as the newspaper was back in its day, as radio. Social media has become a force unto itself. Did you even have those two words working together in concert before about 12 to 15 years ago? Social media. Look at where we've come. I mean, remember when Facebook was new? You could post pictures of your grandchildren. See what happened. Did they wear a pretty dress on Easter? Look at the picture.
I remember you couldn't get a Facebook unless you were invited.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and I didn't have one. I had the MySpace.
Oh, I forgot about MySpace.
Yeah.
Is MySpace still around?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be, but nobody uses it.
Yeah. Snapchat's out there still. Mm-hmm. In fact, Snapchat just had some weird things happen here most recently. They're making some changes. And then on top of that, they've got some that have come and gone. I just watched the Parler thing just go bust like on day one because they got deplatformed by the big dogs who wouldn't let them play in their field anymore. Kicked them right out of the sandbox.
Yeah, I think Snapchat was like the last one to really enter the ecosphere of media and not get pushed out.
Yeah. About TikTok? Did TikTok come out before Snapchat or after?
After.
After.
Okay, actually, so, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's
so
right.
So TikTok would be next.
Yeah,
thing,
TikTok
yeah.
would be the next.
Well, the bottom line is this. Social media platforms have become the public center or the public square for discourse. So what do we do with this? If you had somebody in the public square who was standing up and you know, doing inappropriate things and trying to co-opt your children, would you let it happen? If you walked out into a park and there was someone there exposing themselves to children, or you had somebody who was soliciting your wife, or if you went out into the public square and somebody was standing there just bashing your candidate of choice for political office, and you were told you couldn't respond. I mean, I think about this. In real life, if this were happening, how would you respond? And yet, we see it all the time on social media. Now, you also have people in the public square who walk around and think about it. You see your friend at the mall, down at the grocery store. You know, you're in line to get fast food, whatever the case may be. They're like, hey, how are the kids doing? Oh, we're doing good. How old is little so-and-so now? Oh, gosh, seventh grade. Oh, my goodness, they're getting so big. Next thing you know, you're swapping story. Who are you going to vote for? Oh, man, I've been watching this. I'm going to vote for so-and-so. And all these things happen in real conversation. So when you have them happen on social media platforms, is it still speech? Or is it just you sitting in the privacy of your own home having an opinion? Well, it's not private anymore when you put it out there for billions to see. So how do we work with this? It's an evolving, let me say this. It is an evolving state of play. It is every single day, the nuances of what it means to be in the world of social media is evolving in the law. It is evolving in the public discourse. It is evolving in its societal impacts. It's every single day. I'm calling it social media wars. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Right here, y'all. I'm talking about way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. That's how far this show goes. And I, by the way, if you're listening during the break, you hear those commercials, I got to tell you, part of the deal with Right Side Radio is we are actually a standalone business. We're not owned by the stations you might be listening to us on. We actually send them our show. And part of the way we sustain that operation, like any other business, we have those revenue streams we rely upon, is to sell advertising. So if you're listening to this show and you are a Right Side ruffian, a true Right Side ruffian, and you have your own goods and services you would like to sell, just know this, we have a huge audience of Right Side ruffians who might rather buy from you than to buy from somebody who's not. So if you would like to advertise on Right Side Radio, just know this. You can just go to our website, click on the Advertising and Contact tab, send us a message. Lauren from Right Side will jump on it, man. She will be right there in contact with you to tell you everything you need to know about what it takes to advertise on Right Side Radio. We'd love to have you on the team. Don't call the station direct. Contact us, rightsideradio.org. Tell us you want to listen or you want to advertise because people are listening. And yeah, Lauren will give you a call. Speaking of listening, though, I got to say, last month was a banner month on the podcast, right?
Yeah, it was 6.8K downloads.
6,800 downloads last month. Well, that may be one of our biggest months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're seeing an exponential increase right now. So I attribute that to you,
Thank you.
So you know.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Get a Scooby snack. So in case you didn't know, and by the way, there's more stuff coming. Announcements are coming. But for right now, just know this. Every single day, the show is played, right? Live on the air, 3 hours a day. A lot of prep goes into a three-hour show. At least 3 hours of prep just to do a three-hour show. When you include what Big Rig does, we're talking about another 4 hours of prep here total for a three-hour show every single day because we love what we do. But then we go on the air, we do it, and he takes it every single day thereafter, carves it up, and puts another hour or more of time into it to get it ready to podcast out for you. Takes all the ads out, cleans up the audio, makes it pretty, basically, and puts it out there in podcast form everywhere in the world, right?
Yeah, we're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, everywhere you get podcasts.
Just search Right Side Radio. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just search, or you can also find it on our website, rightsideradio.org.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's huge. By the way, do us a favor. Subscribe to it. When you subscribe to it, it begins a trend and people pick up on that. And then we get more followers. And next thing you know, we're growing. We got some national attention not long ago. And I think just the more of that, the better. So bring it on. And you can find us on rightsideradio.org in case you can't find it on your podcasting services. All right, enough of that. Let me jump on in here back to the topic at hand. In case you did not know, the Supreme Court has been talking about social media of late. Yes. So, y'all, this is an evolving series of issues. We're going to see a continuing, ongoing debate in the political, the governmental, the legal, the social, all related to social media. Is it, in fact, the public square now? Is it the kind of thing that you can't stop it and still say we have a First Amendment? That's the rub. If we're going to say this is a place of public discourse, then that would mean the First Amendment has to come into play. So how do we censor it? How do we protect people? How do we put things where they need to be so that, like, you know, children can't see it, or that, you know, it's not considered to be harmful or offensive? It's tough, man. Now, every platform gives you the ability to block or to mute. But even that now is getting a little dicey. Why do I say that? Supreme Court rules that public officials can be sued for deleting comments blocking their critics on social media. Story that came out last week, 2 weeks ago. Got this one from Fox News. So the Supreme Court considered several cases. Some of them started in the Trump era, and they were literally looking to see whether or not it was a thing, a violation of the First Amendment, for a public official, in that case, it was Trump. In one of the cases, it was Trump, blocking people from their social media. But I thought we could block. Okay. But if it's now a public record because you're a public figure, are you allowed to do that? Are they allowed to have open discourse with their elected officials? The Supreme Court has unanimously ruled that public officials can be sued for blocking their critics on social media. Not always. Because Justice Amy Coney Barrett talked about the fact that we are in a balancing act. Because just because you run for office does not mean you lose your own constitutional rights. I have my First Amendment rights. You have your First Amendment rights. Well, so does the governor. When I was used to be a state senator, I had my constitutional rights, but I was also a public official. So how do I balance that? Said officials that use personal accounts for official statements may not then delete their comments or block their critics. I mean, if they've got an account and all they do is post pictures of their family and talk about how much they love their favorite sports team and, you know, what they think about March Madness and whatever else, that's a little different. That's just the unofficial, you know, person giving their thoughts and views on things that are not in official capacity. But the minute they say, I'm Senator so-and-so, I'm Governor so-and-so, and I think this about that thing, well, guess what? They can no longer block you. Officials must have the authority to speak on behalf of their governments and intend to use it for their post to be regarded essentially as the government's for the rule to apply. So, you can actually sue if you find, like I saw more than one, I saw like Eric Swalwell. I follow, he's been on the show several times, but Buzz Patterson, who's been on the show several times, has recently had a picture of Eric Swalwell blocking him on Twitter. And his question was, can I sue now? Well, that's where we are. It's a social media war, y'all. It's important. But then, okay, now let's talk about Florida. How do we, if it's that important, if it's that big a deal, how do we protect kids from predators? And I remember when I was a kid, and I don't know if it's, I mean, maybe it's not this way now because you don't see it as often, but like if you walked into a place where there was a big magazine rack and they had everything, you know, everything from Southern Living to car magazines to gun magazines, there was always that kind of top shelf slightly behind a cover of the adult magazines, right? Kept them out of the reach of the kids, kept them behind something so you couldn't see those, you know, enticing covers. Couldn't tease, you know, the young impressionable minds. Okay. How do we do that with social media? Well, the state of Florida is one of several states that's taking action. Now, not every state has gotten away with it. Several states have been challenged. But here's the deal. Wall Street Journal. State of Florida. Newly signed legislation in Florida prohibits people under 14 years of age from having a social media account at all. Okay. I'd love y'all's feedback. How does this work? Can you do it? I mean, do you have kids and grandkids? How do they do this? Now, if you're a gun guy like me, you might be going to gun websites. And if you've noticed, every time you go to a gun website now, the first thing that happens is a little pop-up comes up and says, are you, and I think it's over the age of 21. Are you over the age of 21? Yes. Click. And then next thing you know, you're allowed to see the website. Are they going to start doing that with every time you log in to your, are they going to just take it for granted that when you filled out your profile, that you filled it out correctly? Are they going to require you to have dual consent so that you plus one other person has agreed that you are indeed of the proper age? I mean, how are they going to do this? Or are they going to go ahead and say, listen, it ain't worth it. I think it's, I heard that Pornhub, when Texas passed some laws that kept Pornhub kind of boxed in and made it have certain things that it had to do to not be accessible to kids, Pornhub just said, we're out of Texas. Let's pull it out altogether. It wasn't worth the liability. Huh. Okay. So right now, Florida has signed legislation. If you're under the age of 14, you cannot have any social media. They didn't pick one platform. They didn't say just TikTok. They didn't say just Facebook. They said, social media. Got to be over the age of 14. How they picked 14, I don't know. The law requires social media companies to close accounts that are believed to be used by minors under that age, cancel the accounts of minors 14 or 15 years old at the request of the minor or the parents, and delete all information from the accounts. Minors who are 14 or 15 can obtain a social media account with parental consent. Okay. Is it going to withstand court challenges? Well, it points out in this article from the Wall Street Journal. Lawmakers in Arkansas, Ohio, and Utah have banned minors from using social media platforms without parental consent, but a group that I'll talk about in a minute has already been fighting this and has sued, and in three states they've won injunctions, in Arkansas and Ohio, and one other, I'm not sure which one. In Montana, got them blocked. So here's the thing, y'all. It's the battleground. How do we deal with this? How do we look at this? I mean, pretend this is the magazines of old. This is the newspaper. This is the stuff that you used to be able to put on the top shelf and kids couldn't get to it. This is the stuff that used to be, if you mailed it to somebody's house, it came in a plain brown wrapper, right? Now it's available on every smartphone in America, unless you've got some kind of a filter, unless you've got a law that is upheld that prevents it. But we're looking right now at, I'm pretty sure that social media is going to fight this in a big, big way. Never mind the fact that it says the biggest social media platforms have tens of millions of teenage users in the U.S. YouTube is the most widely used. Pew Research says, according to a survey they just did in October, it says among U.S. teens from age 13 to 17, 93% said they use YouTube, 63% use TikTok, 60% use Snapchat, 59% use Instagram. What that means is they're using multi-platforms too. You can't have that many and not be multi-platform users. It's a tough nut to crack, and we're not through cracking at it yet. We'll go ahead and take a break right now. We'll come right back. I got a little more on this. Like, what about TikTok itself? Can we fight TikTok? Can we beat them? And who, by the way, is a group called NetChoice? And are they liberal or conservative? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man, we're almost through with 2 hours. How is that possible? This day has flown by already. Good topics, good material, good content, and great participation from all of y'all out there. By the way, Tony from Franklin, Tennessee just texted in. Let's see what he says. He says, don't forget Tennessee on the app. What are we saying? Oh, I guess I'm just, I guess when I'm talking about where all we go, yes, indeed, you are. And Tony, we appreciate you guys up there in Franklin. Jerry from Decatur again says, no religious symbols on Easter eggs is jackassery. Do you have a jackassery sound effect handy? Can you hit us with some jackassery? I do. Yes, indeed. That was absolutely jackassery. It may also be clear evidence of cacistocracy, but there you have it. And then John from Huntsville says, I think, you know what? Look what John from Huntsville has said. I think Big Rig should play the jackassery sound effect, and I'll make sure he earns extra credit points. Hit him one more time. I'm pretty sure you're going to be the winner for the day, merely for having that button at your disposal. by the way, I'm going to jump back real quickly because the lovely Charlene just sent me a message. She's a great content generator herself. Let me just tell you. She just sent me a message. Eric Metaxas, if you don't follow Eric Metaxas, I recommend it. I feel like I should get continuing education credit every time I read something he writes. And I've heard him speak, and he's prolific. But regarding that first topic I did a minute ago about the Trans Day of Visibility on Easter, Eric Metaxas just said this. He says, instead of abjectly apologizing for the despicable offense to millions of American Christians for declaring Easter Sunday Trans Visibility Day, the White House instead turned around and labeled all criticism of that evil act as, quote, dangerous misinformation. And then he says, do you see what we're dealing with? Staggering. Yeah, I had not seen that until she just pointed it out. But if Eric Metaxas is quoting it, I mean, he's not going to lie. I'm sure it happened. And I have no doubt that it happened. All right, back on topic at hand. Let me just jump on in. We're in number two of the Triple Dipper, the social media wars. And y'all, it is absolutely a running gun battle right now between the social media platforms who, on the one hand, are more often than not the clear epitome of capitalism, of building the better mousetrap and people rushing to be a part of it. I mean, the world of advertising has changed because of social media. The world of information gathering has changed because of social media. The world of, you know, being able to target your audience has changed because of social media. The speed of information is now truly the speed of information. I mean, can you imagine back in the day? Of course I can. I lived it. What am I saying? You know, back in the day, how many of you out there remember Walter Cronkite? Walter Cronkite. Walter Cronkite. And that's the way it was this 1st of April, 2024. I mean, basically, Walter Cronkite came on for the evening news. He told you what happened that day. You just believed it. And when he was done, you had to wait till the next day to find out what else happened. The news came on. The paper might land on your front porch in the morning if the paper boy had his act together. And the paper hits the front door. You pick it up. You can read it while you're having your coffee at the kitchen table. News. The news came to you in a couple of different ways, and it traveled at sort of a ponderous pace. Things might happen in California, and Alabama doesn't find out about it till a week later. And that's fast, by the way. But then you got to also look at where we are now. If somebody has a ham sandwich in California, we know about it the next 5 minutes in Alabama. We just do. If somebody in Washington, D.C. hiccups on the floor of the Senate, we're going to know about it in real time. 24-hour news cycles changed everything. Well, social media took that way further. It turbocharged the ability to get information out. So what's happening, though, with TikTok? I'm not a TikTok user. I'm not a fan. TikTok feels a little irritating to me. I don't know. It just does. And by the way, though, I understand that the brainiacs that put together these social media platforms, they understand the world of algorithms. They can put together things that make you want to see it. And that's the danger. TikTok has become almost synonymous with like a mass hypnosis type effect. It's the kind of thing that the way they gear it towards kids' minds, it is seen to be truly addictive. There are diagnoses of social media addictions. Take away a kid's smartphone and they won't know what to do. How do I communicate? You'll have children that are sitting next to each other at a table texting back and forth or DMing each other on a social media platform. The response to society of someone being mugged in the street now is not to rush to help or to call 911. It's to film it so they can post it to their social media. TikTok was also formed by the Chinese government. So Washington, D.C., there's a TikTok bill. Actually, I call it an anti-TikTok bill. The House passed it. So TikTok's anti-TikTok bill passed the House, and it would just completely ban the popular app in the United States, according to a story here on Alabama Daily News, if its China-based owners do not sell off their stake in it. In other words, China, we're going to shut down TikTok in the United States unless you sell off your stake. TikTok has been urging its users, many of whom are young, to call their representatives, even providing an easy link to the phone numbers. Is that controversial? Are they bending behavior, or are they just reminding you that you have a right to speak? Which would it be? How does this work? Is it manipulation of children to say, call them, tell them you don't want it? And they call and leave giggling messages because they don't understand what they're doing. And sometimes they'll say things like, according to the story here on Alabama Daily News, Senator Tom Tillis has got kids calling in saying, if I find you, I'm going to shoot you. Don't ban my TikTok. Others are a little more emphatic. But what they're seeing is that TikTok has an algorithm that is truly addictive. It's a little bit scary, and it gives information to the Chinese government, or it helps the Chinese government to bend social behaviors in the U.S. Should we ban it? We'll talk about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. We got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three. I was running behind getting back on the mic there because I was busy texting the dad of a new military service member. And by the way, I love that. And thank y'all for your service. I'm on this number two of the Triple Dipper, social media wars. Y'all, it's big doings. I'm not going to lie. This is a hard nut to crack. Is it a violation of the First Amendment to require social media to find some responsible manner to keep children from being unduly influenced by things that children shouldn't have to see or be a part of? It's a question. Is it a violation of First Amendment protocols, or for that matter, open and transparency laws related to, you know, political figures, for a politician to block someone who goes on their social media and cusses them and acts like the fool? I mean, if I've got somebody on there who's going to use profanity and demeaning language and, you know, and post threats or whatever else on my social media, why do I have to put up with that? But yet, Supreme Court just finished saying in the last couple of weeks, you can't do that. And then there's the idea of what happens when you've got governmental influences, malign actors, they call them, malign actors that are they do not have our best interest in heart. Case in point, China. That develops its own social media platform, and they do so in such a way that its algorithms are deemed by psychologists to be overly addictive and extremely impressionable on young minds. How do we deal with it? Florida decided not to pick on TikTok per se. Florida just banned all of them. If you're under the age of 14, you can't have a social media platform in the state of Florida. And yes, there are penalties involved. And yes, they are going to require what's going to be known as a legal standard of probably reasonably applying certain protocols. I don't think that the law that they passed in Florida, you know, told them how to skin the cat. It just told them that cat had to get skinned. And so right now in Florida, they're trying to figure it out. I guarantee you there's litigation coming. But then there's a thing happening in D.C. with TikTok. This one's a little more dicey. This is picking on one entity. This is like saying, out of all the soft drinks, you are not allowed to drink Coca-Cola. Out of all the baseball teams, you are not allowed to watch the Atlanta Braves. Out of all the social media platforms, we don't like TikTok. I don't like them either. I think they're a front for the Chinese government. I think they're doing what they can to corrupt our society. I think some of the worst things that come across young kids, impressionable kids, is stuff that's foisted at them on TikTok. And the TikTok algorithms know what the kids watched and finds more of it and shoves it back in their face. So that every time they open that stupid platform, something that they maybe don't need to see is back in their face again. And then if they want to shape it, they've got the Chinese government behind it, they can shape the algorithm. So even if you don't want to see it, they'll make sure you see it and they'll see more of it and they'll send you the worst of the worst. So now we got Congress trying to ban TikTok. One company. They just picked on one. Now they've given Facebook the business. They've called Twitter on the carpet. They've dealt with censorship and all that, but they have not tried to ban any of them until now. TikTok just got banned by the House, but of course that means it still has to go to the Senate. Senator Tom Tillis, who supports the House bill, basically said what he hates about it is it demonstrates the enormous influence social media platforms have on young people when he gets these thousands of calls from kids saying, please don't turn off my TikTok. But there are roadblocks in the Senate, according to the story here that I've got from Alabama Daily News, where there's little unanimity on the best approach to ensure that China does not have access to private data from the app's 170 million U.S. users. 170 million U.S. users.
But at this point, they have the data.
Oh, they have the data now.
So if they get banned.
But do we want to keep letting them have it?
Yeah. But if they get banned, they still have that data though, right?
Yeah, I don't think we can just take it back from them, mm-hmm. but we're preventing them from getting more, I think, is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, and this is where I got, so my liberty, my libertarian side of me, my hackles get up. Can we tell one company you can't play on the same playing field as the other companies? Can we do that as a society? And that's a difficult position to be in. You're harming kids. Now, if you can actually show, if you can find the smoking gun, if you can find the recording of the boardroom meeting where the TikTok, you know, boardroom sat around and goes, how can we screw with kids in the U.S.? Okay, whole new day. But if all you have is a platform that is so effective at what it does and you don't like the outcome and you don't want to just take responsibility for your own kids, can we ban the platform? I mean, it's hard. You got kids in the house. I mean, you know the deal.
Yeah. They're not on TikTok.
I believe you. Senate Commerce Committee Chairwoman Maria Cantwell, Democrat from Washington, has been reluctant to embrace the TikTok bill. See, it's bipartisan. And I bet for different reasons. Some of them are like, what does big tech want me to do? Some are like, what's the First Amendment telling me what to say? It's a variety. But lawmakers are worrying also, too, that blocking TikTok could anger millions of young people who use the app, which are considered crucial voters in the November election. Republicans are divided. Most of them support the TikTok legislation, but others, though, are wary about overregulation and the government targeting one specific entity. Senator Rand Paul, known for being more libertarian, Senator Rand Paul says the passage of the House TikTok ban is not just a misguided overreach. It's a draconian measure that stifles free expression, tramples constitutional rights, and disrupts the economic pursuits of millions of Americans. Wow. At the same time, Senator Marsha Blackburn, who I really like from Tennessee, she and Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal, they are pressing to have the intel communities, let that sink in, the intelligence arena, declassify information about TikTok so that they can give it to senators in a classified briefing. Wait a minute. So we actually have the intelligence community out there that has classified information about TikTok, and you've got senators trying to make decisions, and they don't have access to that. You see what I'm saying? We have national security implications. We have children to think about. We have, I don't know, the Constitution. We've got free speech. We've got capitalism. We've got... It's a rub, man. It absolutely is. Listen, I'm going to take this down to its finality here. I will tell you this. There's one organization you might want to look up. They're called NetChoice. NetChoice has become the go-to organization for lobbying and legal fights on behalf of social media platforms. They've got some big-name clients. NetChoice represents TikTok, X, Meta platforms, all the Facebooks and everything. They also have Snapchat, I guess, or Instagram. And so NetChoice started off being a small group of liberty-minded lawyers who decided to get busy and not allow... Who was their first client here? I had it somewhere in this article. It was like somebody I was like, oh, really? That's who they represented? But yeah, they just got involved and started saying, we're not gonna do that. Oh, they first represented eBay, Orbitz, and 1-800-CONTACTS, believe it or not. Those were their first three clients. And it's like a small group of like a dozen or so that make all the decisions. And they are now a $33 million organization with representation in 26 different states. And they will literally, like when California passed a law that forced all the digital platforms to adopt some privacy guardrails a few years ago, Carl Szabo from NetChoice called him and said, the lawsuits are coming. And they have. They've won injunctions against state laws on social media platforms in multiple states already. I guarantee you Florida's coming. NetChoice is the lobbying. Well, who are they, though? Are they liberal? Are they the SELU? Are they like Southern Poverty Law Center? No. They're actually known to be very conservative. They are fighting for the First Amendment, believe it or not. They, like several of them, came from the Antonin Scalia School of Law. And then, oh, by the way, they're funded in large part originally by the Koch brothers. Okay, these guys aren't lightweights. And they are absolutely out there fighting what they believe is a conservative battle and yet protecting TikTok and doing it. I'm just telling y'all, I have mixed feelings on this. I think we have to get a handle on it. I think we have to. I think we have to find a way to keep things out of the hands of kids. I like the way Florida tackled this by not choosing one platform over another. They just said all platforms, no social media, unless you're over the age of 14, and even then with parental consent for the first couple of years. I have no problem with that, because I'd love to see kids actually running barefoot through the grass in their backyard again. I'd love to see kids, you know, building forts and, you know, playing kick the can and, you know, and doing the stuff that kids used to do before they could bury their face in a device. I do believe, though, there's some parental responsibility that's owed here. You've got to take ownership over what happens with your kids. All right, listen, I am going to take this to the break right now. We'll take this break and we'll come right back. And I had one story that I may still do when we get back about did the FBI knocking on somebody's door because of what they said on Facebook. That's a little creepy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, by the way, I just got a heads up. 1819 News usually gets first run at a weekly op-ed that I write that goes out. It's also on Athens Now, Gadsden Times. I've seen it down the Dothan Eagle, Tuscaloosa. It's the Trustful Tribune. Anyway, I'm published in a bunch of different news sites around the region. But we just got picked up by a national, which is very cool. So Citizens Free Press, and it was also, by the way, and now my I've had so many text messages come in, I lost sight of the one that sent me that on a text also. But anyway, thank you for letting me know, and I appreciate that very much. Gosh, if I can find who it was who told me that. Well, anyway, one of my listeners found it, and I appreciate it. It's on Citizens Free Press, which is a national-level aggregator of news, and it was a piece that I wrote about Birmingham Southern not getting bailed out by the state. Okay, very cool. Love that. You can find that. All my writings, by the way, are available on the website, rightsideradio.org. You can go to the articles tab. And then when they're first out, right away, 1819 always publishes them every Monday. And the other sites pick them up throughout the week. And so, yeah, watch for it next on Trustful Tribune, probably tomorrow. Wrapping this up on social media, the social media wars. We just had a caller call in a minute ago, Big Rig, you and didn't leave her name, but she was talking about the actual company that owns TikTok.
Yeah, ByteDance.
Yeah, ByteDance. Mm-hmm. They're based out of like the Cayman Islands, and they are Shanghai. They're based out of Shanghai. Mm-hmm. Truly a Chinese owned company. And you know, for all practical purposes, we understand that they are monitored and controlled by the CCP. So there's that. I got this story right here before I get the last of your text message on this topic. This is creepy. So everything else going on, we're talking about the social media platforms are the public square. It's the place where you and I have the right to speak. Our politicians can't block us, according to the Supreme Court. But yet, apparently the FBI can monitor it and come knock on your door. Kid you not. FoxNews.com. I saw the video of this, by the way. FBI agents allegedly told an Oklahoma woman that the agency spends, quote, every day, all day long, end quote, questioning people about their social media posts when they arrived at her house to ask her about posts she made. I saw this video. She's filming him saying, why are you here? Who are you? Show me your ID. Well, ma'am, we showed it to you once already. She goes, but I wasn't recording then. I want to see it again for the camera. No, ma'am, we don't have to get it out again. But how do I know you are who you are? Ma'am, we're with the FBI. They're dressed in street clothes, by the way. And I don't mean, in fact, they looked more like they were there for a survey. Like one of the guys is wearing jeans and an old T-shirt, and he's got a clipboard in his hand.
I'd just shut the door, tell him, get off my property.
Well, and that's pretty much what happened. She stood out front with him for a minute and said, why are you doing this? Well, ma'am, there's been some reports of posts that you've had on social. She goes, so I've lost my freedom of speech now? We didn't say that. Well, then why are you here? And it went on and on. Anyway, they say, one of them says, the guy who was wearing a gray shirt says, Facebook gave us a couple of screenshots of your account. Oh, wait, Facebook turned you in. So Facebook turned you in. The lady said, so we no longer live in a free country. We can't say what we want. And the guy with the red shirt says, no, we totally do. That's why we're not here to arrest you or anything. We do this every day, all day long, just an effort to keep everybody safe, make sure nobody has any ill will. You're not allowed to have any ill will, people. Did you know that? It can bring the FBI to your door. This is, by the way, I look at this and think, I watched the video. The guy with the clipboard just kind of looked like a chump. He just did. He looked like somebody who, that's about as good as he's going to get in the FBI. Knocking on people's doors, asking about their Facebook. Then there was the other guy with him. He looked more like the muscle. He looked like the guy who, for some reason, is no longer on, you know, some measure of investigative duty. And he got stuck with this assignment, and he just can't wait to get back in the field.
He's probably just the guy that's going to put you in the headlock, and the other guy's just going to talk to you.
He looked like the action guy. He looked like the one who, like, first of all, hates his job, can't believe he's doing this. He votes Republican. I suck at this. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to get back in the field. But here's what I got to do, because I had an injury, and now I'm recovering from my injuries. Now I have to knock on doors and talk about friggin' Facebook. That's what he looked like.
That must be like the equivalent of like being a traffic cop or something.
Yeah, when you've been on like some kind of, you know, special beat, like you worked Vice for 5 years, now you're a traffic cop. All right, listen, we're looking at some text messages before I run out of time. John from Harvest says, I think the First Amendment... constitutional rights are sacrosanct. However, I also don't think the First Amendment rights extend to foreign communist governments hostile to the United States. It's a great point. That's why the senators want to see what the intel community has, because apparently they have something. Glenn from Bluntsville says, let's turn off the entire internet for a week and see who loses their mind. Should be entertaining. It will, but I'll be honest with you, you would also shut down a huge section of our economy. And so I recognize you were saying that tongue in cheek. But Glenn, think about how much of our economy is now. If the internet goes down, the wheels of commerce, think about Amazon. Think about how many people order their groceries online now. Think about the number of apps you need just to get food. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, the world
can't
would stop.
Can't get an Uber. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the world would have some getting used to time. Tom from Gurley says, in my opinion, it's dangerous precedent for government to decide what platform, website, or app I can go to. Agreed, Tom, and that is absolutely the balancing act. I agree. Brandon from Athens says, have you seen this? Brandon, what are you sending me? Okay.
It looks like a April Fool's thing.
I think this is April Fool's. I think so. No, the 25th Amendment has not been invoked by the cabinet, and Vice President Kamala Harris is not going to be sworn in at 10 a.m. in the East Room. That did not happen. That is April Fool's Day, Brandon. I think you got had, brother. Raven from Russellville says, to me, government bans can and usually are slippery slopes. They have too much power to stick their nose where it doesn't belong now. One question is, where are the parents? Raven, you just nailed it, brother. You just nailed it. Dave from Rimlap. Long paragraph. See what I can get out of it. He says, Dave from Rimlap, on the social media issues, rightfully it is the First Amendment. But when on that platform narrative, they do censor you. Is that right? Of course, the big issue is it a lie? The government seems to do a lot of lying these days and call the citizens conspiracy theorists. He goes on to say, this is something the feds are doing now and we need to watch it. I agree. All right, y'all, I didn't even get to half the text messages, and I got a whole nother dipper we're going to do in the last half hour. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And by the way, if you didn't hear it earlier, just got picked up on a national aggregator, citizenfreepress.com, has my piece that I wrote that came out today about no bailout for the oldest college in Alabama, Birmingham Southern. And by the way, I'm of the mind that Alabama Treasurer Young Boozer deserves to be thanked. He literally did due diligence. In his mind, he felt like it was an unwise use of $30 million of your tax dollars, and he chose not to give it away to an organization that had shown, you know, over a decade of mismanagement. I hate that we're losing Birmingham Southern. I do. I hate it. But he ain't going to let it happen. Hey, I got to pause real quick, too, and tell you guys, Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground across our overly broad listening area. So Southern Immediate Care in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. Every one of their locations, y'all, open 7 days a week. They'll see all ages. I like to say pediatric up to geriatric. They'll see every single one of them. And by the way, this is who I use personally. And I don't say that because they advertise. Mm-mm. I was already using them. And I was like so blown away by how professional and clean and friendly. Every time I went over there, I just finally said, I could brag on this. Would y'all consider advertising? And they said, you know what? Yeah. Turns out they're owned by a Right Side ruffian. So Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that you might want, even on a Saturday, they're there for you. You check them out. Find the location nearest to you online. Head on down there if you need them. And by the way, when you're filling out your forms, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate it. There's so much news. I've got this whole dipper. Brother Big Rig, I'm sitting here on a stack of stuff that I don't know that I can do in 25 minutes, but I'm gonna kick it off, and we may wind up seeing this. This may be the first time I see a dipper carry over to the second day.
Okay. I mean, if you're okay with doing that.
He just looks at me and goes, okay. But if I'm okay with doing it, have I
like committed halfing it up?
No, I just like picking it up and adding more to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I just see it happening is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I just do. Let me jump on some text messages real quick before I forget to finish those up, because I had several that I didn't even get to yet. Devin from Brownsboro says, Devin from Brownsboro was just commenting on the fact that we had the Biden Transgender Day of Recognition. By the way, if you didn't see it, that was the first hour of our show. I did my monologue on that. You can pick up the monologue again if you missed it just by going to our podcast. It'll be up tonight. Let's see, where is it? On Fox News, there is a brand new story that I mentioned briefly earlier, but it's now the top headline. President Biden responds to the backlash about proclaiming Easter as a trans day of visibility. What was his response? He says, quote, I didn't do that. Sir, yes, you did. It's a proclamation issued under your name by your White House communications team. That means it's from you. Well, I didn't do that. I mean, it's you look at it and go, And I saw somebody tweeted something that I've been saying jokingly on the side. But do you remember, did you ever watch the Lord of the Rings movie?
Yes.
Okay. I'm a fan. I think they were some of the best, you know, just like lose yourself in them kind of movies mm-hmm. ever made. And the trilogies, like it's one of the first times I've been like waiting for the sequel. Anyway.
I'm surprised. I thought you were a Harry Potter guy.
I'm not a Harry Potter guy. Okay. No. But do you remember the King Theoden?
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who was all shriveled up on his throne, and he had that guy Wormtongue whispering in his ear and telling him things.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody tweeted out a picture of that and said, I feel like the Biden administration is becoming an awful lot like Theoden King being whispered to by Grima Wormtongue. And I'm thinking, yes, that's exactly right. It's like, who's telling the invalid president we've got what he needs to hear? And he's just going, okay, I'll do it. That's the way it feels.
Yeah.
And then doesn't remember. Frank from Madison says, Dateline 1 April, the Chi-Coms are selling TikTok to Hunter Biden for $1. Figure it'll make it bulletproof. Wow. Okay. Frank, if you're right, if you came out right, I will just, listen, I'll owe you a new Right Side Ruffian t-shirt or something. Brian from Decatur says, canceling somebody's social media abilities is similar to making a millennial drive a stick shift. They wouldn't know what to do, and that is itself extremely sad. Yeah, there's a whole world out there that does things differently. There's a whole generation that does not remember having a phone hang on the wall in their kitchen. There's a whole generation of soldiers who have never had to polish a boot. There's an entire generation of people that do not know what it means to have to get up out of your chair to change the channel on your TV.
They don't polish boots no more?
No, dude. Black boots are gone.
No.
Yeah. Your Air Force time must have been back in the black boot days.
Yeah.
So you put some Kiwi on those boots and shine them up? Got to.
Oh, yeah.
Got to. Look right. Got to look right.
I can't believe they don't do that no more.
Nah, they don't. They use that rough Nubuck leather that doesn't require anything to do with polish.
My mind is
blown.
it's
listen, and then there's this, you know, there's an entire generation out there that has never had to wonder about how to get the research for their term paper at school because they can Google it. There's an entire generation out there right now. Literally, think about this. This is crazy. There's an entire generation out there that has no firsthand experience related to 9/11. Mm. So all this to say, things change and I get it. But yeah, there is pretty much an entire generation out there that's never even thought about driving a stick shift. Why would you?
You know, this is kind of off topic, but last night I realized how old I was because I was watching Seinfeld.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I love this show. And then I was like, wait a minute. The generation today probably hates this show because it's old.
Or they look at it as a classic.
Yeah.
Well, see, I remember, okay, this is going to, so before you were born, probably, before you were born, I stopped to get gas and I told Charlene later, I said, baby, we're officially old. She said, why? I said, because they were selling cassettes called Classic Rock. And I remember when every one of those songs was new. But it was cassettes, and you can't even buy cassettes now.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got in here? The text messages real quick. Mike from Athens says, the world will be fine. The internet can cause pain for a week. We were fine before. We'll be fine after. Oh, Mike, we'd adapt. I guarantee you. But there'd be some folks losing some money, and there'd be some folks trying to figure out life. I'm just saying. Turn off GPS and the internet, and the American society comes to a screeching halt. Your banking's done on the internet. There's a thing. A lot of your banking's on the internet. Mark from Laredo said, I did not realize how much time I wasted until after I was kicked off of Facebook and Twitter for being pro-Trump back in 2020. I believe it. I got locked in Twitter jail a few times. It's like, dang. All of a sudden, I had, like, you know, some of my day back. Metal Man Josh Melkmont says, they are worried about hacking. What are we talking about here? I guess he's talking about, is he talking about the social media? I don't know what he's talking about. JT Lacey Springs, the book of, Book of Eli. Please tell me you've seen the Book of Eli.
Yes, great movie.
Outstanding movie. Outstanding movie.
One of his best, I think.
I think so too. He says they had no internet. That's true. They had no lots of things. They had no electricity. They had no water, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Bob from Madison says, did you see this? It's from Trump. I'm suspending my campaign. It's a April Fool's. A couple more, and then I'll finish up with some stuff. Jeff from Indiana again says, Phil, Joe Biden is right. He didn't do anything because he's in control just as much as Walter Biden. Jeff Dunham's puppet is in. He says, trouble is, I'm just wondering who the puppet master is. You are so right. Missy from Thoughtful. There's a video of Obama saying he wishes he could be a basement president where he could whisper in someone's ear what to say and do. I think we're witnessing it. I'd love to see that video. I have not seen that, Missy. You show me where that, send me that link to that video. I'd like to know. Dave from Rimlap says, there is rightfully much to do in the past. Hang on a second. I think we got some jumbling words. There has rightfully been much to do in the past lot of years. Okay. About the Johnson Amendment, the 501c. Okay. Yada, yada. The feds can muzzle any content of a sermon. He said, I guess the Scottish black robes wouldn't be allowed to preach to us anymore. Okay. That's Dave. I'm trying to decipher all of your references to historical and pop culture and current existing tax law, but I get what you're saying. Thank you much. Dave from Athens, last text. Maybe not last text. Teresa from Town Creek just texted in too. He says, my first mobile phone was a dime and later a quarter that my mom gave me before I left the house. Back then, there was a payphone on almost every street corner, as well as in most stores and businesses. Yes. Payphones.
Oh, yeah. I remember payphones.
Payphones. They're payphones. How about collect calls? Remember collect calls?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, operator. I'd like to make a collect call.
They were just getting weeded out as I was a kid.
Collect calls. I still remember, by the way, here's how old I am. I remember party lines. You know what a party line is?
No.
Okay. A party line is when there were not enough phone outlets in the neighborhood and you and your neighbor shared a phone line.
Wow.
And it rang differently at your house than did at mine. On yours, it might go ring, 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 ring. And that was a sign that it was your call. But on my phone, it came in a ring, ring. I knew it was my call. But then, wow, if you picked up the phone to make a call sometimes, Griselda next door was still gossiping to her friend in Cincinnati, and you had to wait for her to get off the phone. And more than once, I've known people pick it up and go, Griselda, I have to make a call. You know,
that's crazy. Was that like back in the 1940s or something?
And then it also wasn't uncommon to eavesdrop on your neighbors on the party line. Crazy times, but there it was. It was still high tech, though, man.
Yeah,
still high tech.
Sounds high tech.
I listen. The text message is coming in faster than I can get to them. Teresa from Town Creek says, "There's a whole generation doesn't know the headache of trying to record a song on the radio onto a cassette." Yes.
Oh yeah. Yes, I know that pain.
And then having your cassette come unhinged, and you got to use a pencil to reel it back in. You stick it in the slot and twist.
Oh yeah, that's all I used to do.
Well, how about this? Having an 8-track player. That you know for a fact that if you're at that word in the song on track one and you hit the button twice, you'll pick up your favorite song on track three.
Wow.
Just saying. Handyman from Caddo, Alabama says, can you imagine this generation with 8-tracks? See what I'm saying? 8-tracks. And by the way, 8-tracks were cool. They were, you know, they were as big as a paperback book, and you had to have like a suitcase in your back seat full of 8-tracks. It's crazy. My dad had the big leather-bound suitcase. Son, reach in there and hand me that Johnny Cash Greatest Hits. Yes, sir. He reached there. Dad, can you play this one? No, son. Hand me the Johnny Cash. Okay. Hand him the 8-track of Johnny Cash. Riding around the Ford LTD playing Johnny Cash on an 8-track. I am definitely in walking through memory land, and we're about to run out of time. Tammy from Huntsville says, did you see Biden say oyster bunnies? Yeah, I did. He got up there and says, say hello to the oyster bunnies. Oyster bunnies. Okay. We don't know where he is most of the time. The sky is a different color in his world.
Oh, yeah.
Badger from Athens says, has anyone dialed 0 and checked on the operator? She's still there probably, waiting.
Wow.
For someone. How about this? Remember when you used to pick up the phone and dial to see what time it was? The time is 4:47, and it would do it.
I remember dialing 0 to find out like a number.
Yeah. Operator, can you help me make the correct? Yes, sir. Were you trying to call?
Yeah.
My wife's grandmother used to be the old-fashioned operator who plugged the lines in. She was like, you know, the lady on Andy Griffith. All right, enough of that. We are just like opining now. Hit the break, brother. Hit the break. We did not even start that dipper. It's just as good because it's a good dipper, and I'm saving it tomorrow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making common sense like a superpower. A couple of text messages here. Jeff from Indiana says, I still own an 8-track recorder. From Radio Shack, no less. Ryan from Hazel Green says, check on the operator. She's okay. She's still on the party line with Griselda. Missy from Fontville says, I can't find that video about Obama. Just scroll down to the transcript. Okay, I'll take a look later on. I got a call on the line. Let me go to that real quick. Is that Alan? Alan from Hartsell. How you doing, Alan?
I'm upright and breathing again.
Yes, you are. How are you? What you on your mind, buddy?
1978.
Yeah.
People don't remember.
I do.
I remember when. Yeah, okay. When the Shah died and the Ayatollah took over.
Oh, yeah.
Well, 444 days later, Mr. Reagan was about to take office and they turned him loose. Well, about one of my late bosses, he was a World War II and Korean vet. He said, he asked me what I was going to do, what I'd do one morning before I went to work, about 6:30. He said, no, that's kind of violent. You shouldn't do that. I said, well, them folks have been fighting with rocks and sticks for 1,000 years, and they ain't going to change. He looked at me and said, what do you mean? They got a peace treaty. Well, that don't make no difference. They're still going to keep fighting. Well, in 92, before he passed away, he said, you know, you was right. I said, what are you talking about, Mr. Guy? He said, we should have lit them SOBs up years ago. I said, well. He finally admitted that somebody half his age, or less than half his age, finally admitted that, you know, you was right. We should have done away with them folks. But so we're still dealing with them today, Phil.
Oh, we are.
We're still dealing, having to deal with them.
Well, I mean, look what Patton said at the end of World War II. Patton wanted to go ahead and take the fight to the Russians. And if we had, we wouldn't have had, you know, 40 years of a Cold War.
That's what he said. He said, give me my third, and I mean, it was the third and the fifth army, and we'll make it look like they started the fight. But he got chastised for that, and mysteriously he died before he ever got back here.
Yeah, wasn't that funny?
And from a little, a fender bender, and he's upright and everything in the hospital doing fine, and all of a sudden he comes down with something and died of some kind of something. I thought, well, ain't that something?
Yeah, go figure.
Of course, I read too much, and I'm a history nut, I guess.
You can't read too much. You can't read too much.
Things keep repeating itself over and over and over, and sooner or later, some of these idiots on the computer are going to try to figure it out that it happens once, it might be 30, 40 years down the road, it's going to happen again.
Oh, yeah. Solomon said it. There's nothing new under the sun. Yeah. Mm-mm. Alan, thanks for the call, man. You have a great day, brother.
You too, sir.
All right, take care. John from Huntsville sent the grades in. He says, Phil, he says Big Rig was going to get an A++, but when he said he loved the show Seinfeld, I had to give Big Rig a B-.
What's he got about against Seinfeld?
Because if there's one thing I hate more than Alabama sports, it's Seinfeld. Wow. He says, Phil earns an A++ for his fantastic performance. However, today's winner is easily Jeff from Indiana with an A++. Perfection and congratulations.
I agree, because Jeff saved that kid.
That's right.
So.
By golly.
He deserves the win.
By golly. Well, listen, we're going to wrap this up right now. So if you didn't hear the monologue, I want to encourage you to go back and get it. If you heard it and thought it's worth sending to somebody, please do. But it'll be up on podcast version. But so today I addressed the whole thing about the fact that we have a president that chose to say that the Transgender Day of Visibility was so important that he had to declare it as being on the same day as Easter. And I pointed out that there's no prohibition against somebody who identifies as trans ever leaving that lifestyle and coming to a saving grace knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's not. We want that for them. But there's also the notion that there's actually the reality that Christianity actually has standards. It actually has principles. It actually has commandments, and there's behavior that they don't want to deal with. And so what they try to do is distract by saying Transgender Day of Visibility, and that's a big deal, along with the other 148 days that they've dedicated to the LGBTQ community. The bottom line is this. They can try to change the calendar, but they cannot change the celebration of the day, because Jesus Christ is Lord, and yesterday we got the opportunity to know Him risen, and risen indeed. You guys have an amazing night. We'll see you tomorrow.